This episode of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast is brought to you by Casper.com. Go to Casper.com and use offer code FAMILYHOUR to get $50 off a delightfully soft mattress. Let yourself sleep for once. It is I, Duncan Trussell, and you are listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. I'm doing something that I've an experiment. I've never done this before. Sitting with me is Michael Donovan, a dear friend of mine, extremely talented, genius-level photographer who has agreed to come on the podcast last second. You've been on this podcast before, haven't thou?
Yes.
This is your second appearance here, and thank you. I'm having one of those days right now where everything's technical difficulties. Like, if you guys listen right now, you can hear a little background buzz when I was trying to get I parked my car at the airport parking lot, and the guy who came to the actual van that came to pick me up broke down. So, do you know what I mean? Like, do you think, Michael, that sometimes, like, you get into a place where you're your own little Bermuda Triangle,
yeah,
where technical malfunctions are happening around you?
I have it all the time. It happens every few months.
What do you think that is?
I just think that that's just the curse. I think that's the curse of life. I think it comes and it goes.
Do you think it's like, I wonder about it all the time because, you know, some people will say, Mercury is in retrograde. Mercury's in retrograde. And you know, and when Mercury is in retrograde, like, malfunctions start happening. So what do you think it is? What's your theory?
I just think it's bound to happen. So it's like a statistical thing. So every once in a while, the law of average comes up and it's like your life, you're going to have shit go down. And then it just happens to, what is it? It's like confirmation bias. So you start to assume that it's going to be like some kind of electronical dysfunction happens. And so you say, well, this is shitty. And then the next electronical dysfunction happens, and then that happens, and then that happens. Then it becomes this confirmation bias that you're just screwing up the
right
universe, but it's just what it's going to do anyway.
That's what it is, confirmation bias. And you know what? Who cares? Like, any technical difficulty that happens, anything that gets in your way, it's just, to me, if you look at it through the lens of, this is clearly a test. Like, if you get to the point where you're like, I'm not getting tricked anymore into thinking that this isn't some obvious form of initiation that I'm being put through, and at this very moment, whatever the difficulty happens to be, the way I pass the test is by entering into whatever the difficulty is with some form of loving intention. And then the moment you do that, it's like you've won. You've done it. You passed the test, regardless of whether or not you get exploded or everything falls apart or your body dies. If you enter into it with that intention, don't you think it's victory, right?
Yeah, well, I think also if you're just surviving it, even regardless of your intention, I don't know. I don't attach attention to if I get through this, I will survive. I'm
intention?
Just like...
Intention?
Intention.
You don't want to attach survival to...
Well, I just want to, like, when that shit starts happening, I'm like, noted, shit's happening. So then I kind of go through it and I enjoy it. And then it's kind of fun. It's like, you know, we kind of seek out comedy and drama in our life. So it's like, this is the drama. Here's the drama. Here it is. And then I can, like, talk about it and I can, like, have a good time with it.
Yeah, I think that is a way to switch it. It's just a mental, it's like you need to...
It's a game.
It's a game. You got to figure out a way to apply a different lens to whatever it is that's happening to you. If the way you're reacting to it is out of some kind of severe, shitty, toxic anger. You know, if you start I can remember once when I was living in Echo Park in this Roach Motel, and I was, at the time, I was doing commercial auditions. So you go like to audition for commercials, like the bottom of the
bucket.
What
were you doing? What kind of commercials were you going for?
Oh God, you name it, man. I had a commercial agent. So
are you in any commercials?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
What are you in?
I'm in a Mercury Insurance commercial. You guys look it up. I think it's on the internet still, where I say crater tots instead of tater tots. That's the gag. That's the fucking gag. But, you know, I was this is when I was coming up at the Comedy Store, and one of the things you do as a fledgling comedian, if you need money, you get a commercial agent, and you go out on these fucking commercial auditions, and you feel like a big old goddamn – you don't even feel like a sellout because you're like – fuck it, I've got $8 in my bank account, and my car might not make it to Culver City to do this thing. I'm just trying to survive. And I can remember sitting in this roach apartment I was living in, and I had made the decision that Los Angeles was hell, that I was being tortured by demons, because I would get like, I remember like being on some psychedelic mushrooms. I don't know what it was. Just the worst time to take mushrooms, driving on mushrooms through LA on a particularly dreary day and looking at the signs and the trees, and everything seemed to be kind of melting into this one H.R. Giger picture. just alien like tentacles and not that vivid, you know, just the thing just seemed like a like a, you know, melting demon fat or something. And so I'm like sitting in this apartment, my printer starts breaking down, and I'm printing a resume out to fucking staple to the back of my shitty black and white headshot, which I'm taking probably to try to get like a spot on a like Sheraton hotel chain commercial or something. And the printer starts breaking down, and I just punched it. I screamed at the top of my head. I was like, yeah! And I punched the fucking printer, broke it, shattered the glass of the
fucking
scanner.
Feels good, though. That it, fucking feels
it
good.
It felt good for a second. But back then, I didn't understand that you can change your POV instantaneously, you know? Like, I was so caught up in the rage that there wasn't anything I could do. So anyway, man, I'm not even sure what that's about. Let's just call that the intro.
Shop on Amazon.
Okay, guys. I am sorry about this, everybody. I missed a podcast last week, and I'm getting podcast fever. If I don't put a podcast out regularly, I start feeling like some rotting beam inside of my chest is about to just maggots are about to crawl out and devour my body. It's a real heavy, weighty, shitty feeling. This episode of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast is brought to you by Casper.com. Go to Casper.com today and get $50 towards your brand new badass mattress. Listen, I know a lot of these podcast hosts are, they for $6, they'd sell you a cube of radioactive plutonium and tell you it was a pacifier for your baby. But not me. I only promote things here that I actually use. And in my bedroom, to this very day, I sleep on a Casper mattress. They've got they're incredibly reasonably priced. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to buy. Have you ever tried to buy a mattress before, Michael? You ever gone to a mattress store?
I used to sell mattresses.
Shut the fuck
yes,
up.
Yes, I did.
You were a mattress monger.
Yeah, no. I worked for a really cool store, and I sold mattresses when I was moving from Portland to Chicago.
But you know that mattresses are generally in mattress stores, and I don't mean for you to throw your mattress friends under the mattress bus, but mattresses are like pretty fucking expensive. And
they're either really expensive or fucking cheap as fuck. And the cheapest fuck, I sold one to this little old lady. She was like 100 years old. She came in there and she's like, I need to get a new mattress. I'm like, how much money do you have? She's like, I got $100. And it was like, it was just coils in her back, essentially.
There you go, guys. You just heard it. They're evil. Matt, these mattress salesmen are, you're an evil man. You just admitted to you.
I got her the best deal I could get her. But there was there wasn't an option. There wasn't an option of Casper. So I had to give her my coil mattress. She couldn't afford the $2,000 Linden. The Linden.
Did you throw the mattress at her as she was leaving? Get the fuck out of here,
yo. Strangled her with a coil. I stuck it down her throat and let it pop out of her crusty old chest.
You monster. See that?
She's a fucking ghost right now floating through your house.
They don't. You're a monster. I have a monster on the podcast with me, Michael Donovan. What's. Now, listen. You heard it from the fucking mattress demon's mouth. They don't care. They sell.
I'm thinking about the evil shit we could do with that.
They sell old ladies' coil doom mattresses. I went into a mattress store after experiencing cancer and the loss of my mother. You've heard this story before, but I like telling it. I'd gone insane. My mind was reeling and desperately grasping at anything that it thought could ease the terrible suffering that comes when you realize that you are not immortal and that not only will you die, but everyone you know will eventually die. And my brain somehow came up with the solution to that pain being to buy a very expensive mattress. And I went into one of these mattress stores, stoned out of my mind, and a mattress salesman, much like Michael Donovan used to be, tuned in on the fact that I was grieving and stoned and brought me over to the most expensive...
Poor little baby.
Brought me over to the most...
Come to the Linden.
What's a fucking Linden?
The Linden. It was amazing. It was an amazing mattress. I used to sleep on that during breaks all the time.
Shit, man. Well, look. This guy did the exact same thing. You hear him. Like, and they
come here, cancer boy.
I bet you told people that, too. You're like, this is the one I sleep on during my breaks.
I would. I would tell them that, and I'd be like, look at this. This is not where. This is where cancer boys want to go. Well, they want to go lay down.
What he did to me was he said, "If you buy this mattress, be careful because you'll get addicted to it." And that's all he had to say. And I'm like, because he was like, he's like, my wife has gotten addicted to this mattress. And like he was so sincere, like he was talking about heroin or something. And it's like, that's all you have to say to a stone
that
dude.
That also just sounds like he has like some relationship problems.
That his wife's like, depressed.
Yeah.
You're confusing your wife's mattress addiction. It's depression. She's depressed because you're at work all day hypnotizing old people into buying shitty mattresses. So anyway, this is the mattress I had for a very long time. It started falling apart. It was like I was sleeping on it. It had these big craters in it. I started having back spasms. And that's when I was approached by Casper. And they sent me one of their wonderful mattresses, a queen-size Casper mattress. And I tried it out. And I sleep on it to this very day. So if you want to avoid getting ripped off by some kind of mattress demon, go to Casper.com right now. Use offer code FAMILYHOUR. And you can get a mattress. The price ranges are... $950 for king size, $750 for full size, $850 for a queen, and $500 for a twin size, you weirdo. Why would anyone get a twin? Only serial killers get twin size mattresses. But they're there for you if you want one, and you're going to get $50 off. There is a they'll give you free delivery, and you can return the thing within a 100-day period if you think it sucks. So outside of the inconvenience of having to box the thing up and sending it back to Casper, you really have nothing to lose. And then you can go into the lair of a mattress monger and let yourself get hypnotized and sucked into their dark, cushioned hell world where you will ultimately lose your soul and find yourself spinning infinitely in a great dark void watching as your dead ancestors writhe in the flames of hell. Go to Casper.com, use offer code FAMILYHOUR and get $50 off a mattress. They're an obsessively engineered mattress, just the right sink, just the right bounce, risk-free trial, return policy. They are made in America!
America!
And,
you have give to it a shot. Bald eagles.
I sleep on a Casper mattress and I wouldn't lead you sweeties astray. We're also brought to you by Amazon.com. If you go through our Amazon portal located at DuncanTrussell.com, any bit of plastic that you buy, they will give us a very small percentage of whatever you spend, and it doesn't cost you a penny. So go bookmark the Amazon portal. It's the best way to support this podcast outside of sending a donation. And thank you to those of you who continue to do that or buying t-shirts. I have a recommendation for something you can buy. If you want to really turn into what I'm turning into, which is a childless dad, I recently bought a Big Green Egg grill. Do you like grilling, Michael?
I saw your grill.
Have you grilled on it yet?
No. I need to figure out how to use that thing.
Oh, you got to taste the flame.
What the hell is going on with that thing? It's got a deep bowl to it.
It's a convection oven. So okay. The Big Green Egg is this smoker-style grill. Look, I'm not a grill man. I never thought I'd be a car man, but I ended up with a Mercedes, and now I've got a grill. All that's left is just a sleeping pill overdose, and I guess that's it for me. But I love it. I love grilling, man. I never thought I'd be a grill man. I'm a grill man. There's some it plugs into some I'm not sponsored by Big Green Egg, by the way. I'm just saying, if you buy one through Amazon, they'll give us a small cut of whatever it is you buy. But holy shit, man, this is, there's something about, like, you know, water. Water is an elemental force, and it feels good to jump into water. Fire, elemental force, man. It's an element. So something about being around a crackling fire, cooking food, smelling the food at night on your porch. It really is, as far as I'm concerned, the ultimate experience.
Wait, wait. Have you barbecued in the morning yet?
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, just throw on some meat on the grill. I used to do that before I went to work, before I poisoned people with coils.
You used to grill before you go sell mattresses?
Well, no, actually I was doing it at a different job, but I would barbecue in the morning. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd barbecue, and it was like the best. Oh, it's good.
It really caught me off guard. I just, we've got this new place and I wanted to grill because I want to be more social. I want to cook for people. So I heard all these Big Green Eggs are amazing. I got one, had it delivered to the house, and now just about every night, if I can, I'll grill out there. I'll listen to an audiobook and grill. I'm a childless dad now. This is just, it's heaven. It's like, in, it fulfills something that is, I didn't know that I needed fulfilled, which is, I think, if you consider how long humans have been on this earth, and how long we've had a direct relationship with fire, I think that it must plug into some very deep primal part of the essence of being a human being to cook food on a fucking grill. Whatever it is, it's just a blast. And if you're going to go through our Amazon portal, buy a Big Green Egg. Australia, I'm coming to you. You can go to duncantrussell.com. I'll be there starting November 5th in Perth. We travel all through Australia. We added a new podcast show. I'm there with Johnny Pemberton. I'm also going to be in New Zealand. Go to duncantrussell.com. The dates are all there. Thank you guys for putting up with this rather clumsy intro. I just wanted to get an episode out to you this week, and it's going to be a wonderful episode because my guest, Michael Donovan, is a supremely talented human being and also someone who has a connection, I think, with Neem Karoli Baba and Ram Dass and the Love Server Member Foundation, and also his own podcast at mindrolling.net.
No, actually, well, no.
Oh, not anymore?
Yeah, they canned me.
You got canned by Ram Dass.
I got a text. They texted it. I got broken up from MindPod from a text.
What did they say?
They said it was Noah. He's just like, hey, Ragu said you don't really fit the ethos of the network, so we're going to go ahead and let you go.
Wow. Man, that's
I'm looking at Teslas today. That was like Noah, like, I'm looking at Teslas today.
My friends, what could be a better introduction for my guest than here with us today is a person whose podcast was kicked off of a spirituality network.
Not only kicked off, but kicked off through a text.
Well, where is it now?
It's just floating. I still have my podcast. I still have it on, on iTunes and whatever.
Isn't your podcast named after something Ram Dass said?
We're all just walking. It's walking home. We're all just walking each other home. But I had started that like well before they had, you know, we had gotten contact about all of that before they like brought me on and everything.
Well, you know, I guess, you know, they have like a very specific flavor that they're going for there. It's not like a podcast network like Feral Audio, which is just all kinds of different states of mind or all kinds of different POVs. I think that the MindPod network is specifically based around consciousness podcast, Buddhism, meditation, spirituality, and to be honest, man, I don't know that I would be equipped to like keep my podcast at one level like that.
That's the thing. I think that's why it made sense, though. That's why when I got the text, it was like, yeah, cool. Like, it wasn't a big deal because the other thing too is that when you're in an environment like that, you know, my whole thing was that it's like I'm trying to create this intersection between materialism and spirituality. So sometimes I get into very materialistic discussions, and it might last like 2, 3 episodes, 4 episodes, 5 episodes. Then we'll get into like a spiritual discussion, and it'll be, you know, enough for a little while, and we'll be kind of balancing it back and forth. But when what they need is they need people who are on point constantly, just staying
with spirituality.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I get it. But that is, it's hard to stay in that zone, especially when, you know, I think that you said to me a long time ago is when I got back from the Ram Dass retreat and we were shooting in here in LA.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I still just want to tell dick jokes.
Yeah.
And it didn't make sense until I got that text, because it's like, yeah, I still kind of, like, listen, I still shoot tits and ass. You know, yeah. Like, I still...
You take pictures of... You take nude pictures.
Naked lady photos.
You do, and you're very good at it. But, you know, again, like, how... The problem is like, when... So you say spirituality and materialism.
Yeah.
But my question is like, when are they separate? Like, when is
it's when your intention is different. You know, when for me, I think it is, it's like the intention or the space that we're in. So when I'm in like a spiritual space, there's more room.
Right.
Things kind of separate, you know, I'm more spacey. When you're talking about mattresses and, green eggs, you're kind of like in a different spot. You're thinking about the shit that you have. So, and you think about it too. So you came home and you know, you're like, I'm home. And you roll up and like, it was probably coming up the hill. You had like a spiritual feeling because you had space and you're like coming home. As you got closer and closer, that space started to compress and you walked in the door and you're like, where's my dogs? My dogs.
Yeah.
And it became your, you know, this, and it was a connection. You know, where's my girlfriend? Where's my, you know, like, where's my stuff? Mine.
Right.
And that's where it became, I think it kind of flips. And so you're still a spiritual being.
I don't think that though. I know what you're saying. You're using me as an example, but
yeah.
It's generally more of a feeling of like, how the fuck do I get to be here? This is ridiculous. I'm so lucky. I can't, and I don't mean that in a pious way. I find it more like, holy shit.
You are in a holy shit place.
This is happening. I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
This is wild. I can't believe it. And I just think that it's like that compression that you're talking about, that zooming, that zooming in on this is mine. Fine. That too can be a spiritual practice. And I'm, you know, I think it's difficult for people to understand that. But the moment you start deciding, oh, this is God and this isn't God, this is what you wear when you're at church and this is what you don't wear when you're at church and this is how you act. You know, I was at this in Vrindavan, one of my favorite moments, and it was a really holy moment that I didn't know it was a holy moment until years and years later, because I'm always with people who are way smarter than me, and because I'm kind of generally closed off, I never realized how lucky I was to be around them until much later, often when it's too late. But I was with Emo, my friend Emo Amos, and my friend David McLean, and I'm into the Hare Krishnas, man, and I'm into the ISKCON version of Hare Krishnas, and I've been being very dogmatic, and I think I've been probably irritating the shit out of them about the Hare Krishnas for a while. And so we get to the Hare Krishna temple in Vrindavan, and all these like very intense brahmacharis, very austere ascetics, renunciates who've given up everything, shaved their head. They're sitting in front of the deities doing their puja, burning the incense. It's very serious there, man. It's a beautiful seriousness, but it's serious. And this out of the blue, some like sadhu or baba comes out of nowhere, and he's got a beard and he's just wearing rags. And he walks right up to the deities, right through the priests, right up there. And he starts dancing in this like joyful way that's different than what they were doing. It's like almost an interruption. And a few of them you could tell were kind of annoyed.
Yeah.
And Emil is like, that is a saint. You're looking at a saint. That's a saint. Because he's like dancing and laughing, breaking all the rules. This guy has no rules. There's no rules that apply to this man. You could just see it. This guy's just been going from place to place, dancing for as long as he wants. And he's been getting frowned at by monks probably for a very long time. And that, to me, that's what it's all about. It's not like, there's not a right way to be.
Yeah, no. I completely agree that there's no right way to be. That was actually a reason why I was also like, really? Because this is kind of what I'm pushing, is that there's no right way to be. Just be who you are, be how you are, whatever you're at. Even if you don't know where you're at, even if you don't understand what you're going through, you're still there.
Yeah.
You know, you're already there. And it's just that I happen to be working in an environment that typically is designated as a materialistic space. But where it is the spaces. So you think of that guy as he's walking up there. He knows in his head that he's going to disrupt something. You know, he knows that all these spiritual people are there. Like, there's a lot of like spiritual quacks that are there. Like, I'm going to show my friends all the spirituality. Yes. I'm going to like, and he's like, look, I'm going to do this shit and I'm going to challenge them and I'm going to push them. And that's, I think, he knows that walking through that space, and then once he does like his dance, like that's going to cause even more disruption to those people, and they're confronted with it. So that's when I talk about materialism and spirituality. Like, the difference is that there's that space that you know, you have to when you move into that, when you kind of push through that space. People have material, or it's the materialism of spirituality. If I don't know if that makes sense. Sure. I'm not good with words. This is my problem. I'm
There's
not good with words.
A lot of materialism with spirituality. There's a lot of stuff, you know. People buy stuff.
Yeah.
Like they like to buy things. Like, they like to buy pretty beads, and they like to have, like, shit. Look at the fucking Pope, man. I mean, at least the new Pope seems a little less materialistic. But keep going.
Yeah.
You're doing fine.
No. I that's the whole point. Is that. When you, and using you as an example again, it's like when you move from one space to the next, when you get out of your car, once you open that door, it's like you let in this new air, and then it's like, oh, how do I, you know, it's not, you don't think consciously, how do I walk from my car to my house, but new thoughts come up from that space. And with, when you're dealing with your pets, so you see them, and you know, when you said, like, why aren't you looking at me?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you care about me? You just want food.
You just want food, you little shit parasite dog.
Yeah, so it's like,
don't,
and then
really mean that. I love little fox.
Yeah, Gatsby though. We got a little talk about that guy.
I love Gatsby too.
Gatsby's funny. The whole thing is that I think that we still have to kind of like shake stuff up to make people look toward us, because we still want that attention. We want that. We want people, and that's what, you know, what commercialism does. I don't know about you, but I feel very uncomfortable doing my commercials on my show, because, like, look at me. I'm couch surfing. I own a backpack, a duffel bag that I've had at your place for a month. I haven't even seen my duffel bag, so yeah. I have a backpack and a suitcase, a carry-on suitcase, and a duffel bag I haven't seen in a month. And here I am telling people to buy shit. So we still work and live in a materialistic world.
The marketplace. That's what Ram Dass called it.
There you go. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm calling materialism, I'm using the wrong word, but it's the marketplaces. You know, I'm trying to navigate. The marketplace isn't necessarily a bad place. It's not full of bad people.
It isn't.
But it does feel it tastes a little like, I don't like this taste necessarily, until we get used to it.
Everyone sucks until you meet them. It's like the whole like thing, like when you look at it from the perspective of like, here is, God, name any fucking corporation, you know, the most evil one you could think of, Monsanto, the demons.
Mm.
And then, like, guaranteed, you run into a Monsanto person. I don't know how many of them are over there. And the odds are going to be pretty good that a few of them are really cool. And a few of them are like, look, we're really, like, trying to... I'm not defending Monsanto, you guys. I think it's fucked up. I think it's fucking crazily fucked up, the cancer-causing stuff. But what I mean is, it's this...
What's the deal with your, like, Monsanto poster that you have behind her?
Oh, nothing. I just, you know, they send stuff to me because
okay, just checking.
I am an open-minded, spiritual fellow. No, it's like, man, this is the thing, man. You are... in an amazing part of your life right now. If there ever was a time to do commercials, it's right now, because
yeah.
You're living the hero's journey. You left your home in New York, set sail into the winds of the unknown, came to Los Angeles, and now you're going through what so many people go through here, which is figuring out where you fit in and figuring out the best way to go hunting in this particular forest called Los Angeles. And it's a blast, but it's scary and it's trippy and it's like, it's completely, completely not secure. Both of us, I think both of us have jobs that there's no guarantees, man. There's no guarantees. You don't know how long it's going to last. You don't know, anything could happen. In any second, anything could happen where absolute, you know, catastrophe and tragedy comes. And I know what you mean, that weird funny taste in your mouth where art meets capitalism, where art meets having to make money from selling your art. That's a weird feeling, man. It doesn't feel right. It's something about it feels off. Until you start meeting the people who are engaged in that business, the agents, the managers, the brokers, whoever they are, and then you realize these guys are actually just like me.
Yeah. No. They're cool people. They're cool people. It just feels funny. It's just a funny, you know.
Weird feeling.
Yeah. Because especially right now, my eye is really tuned in on the people. You know, like we were talking about before, is that my experience is I'm couch surfing and I want to keep doing this for a little while. And I'm friends and people that I loosely know are inviting me into their homes. And here I am, literally sometimes like I have like a room, sometimes I have a sofa, and the experience is interesting watching the people, you know, seeing what they're going through in their lives, where they're trying to seek happiness. And some are so career oriented and they get like this, something amazing happened today. I did a great deal and blah, blah, blah. And then you see them like a couple hours later and they're just broken down.
Yes.
You know, yeah. and watching that, seeing that like this lost love that they don't have, or this person that they're missing, or this person that they want but they can't have, every one of my friends, I give them shit because they order so much shit off the internet. Some of them don't even leave their house. I was staying with a buddy.
Did you tell them to go through my portal?
No, I tell them to go through mine. seeing how they wouldn't leave their homes, you know, they would just work all day and they would, because a lot of them are professional creatives. So they would stay at home and they would work from home. Some of them have offices, but they would still choose to work from home from their home office. And you'd see people not leave, and you'd see people like just focusing on their work, and then, where they hadn't gone outside all day, you know, and it's like, it's almost, it's exciting, and it's exciting because there's so much. That, you know, maybe in a year I'll be able to understand it completely, but right now in it, you see there's something that's like this beautiful prison cell that people have put themselves within their own, with the creative careers.
I got you. Okay, I got you. Because you've untethered yourself.
Yeah.
So here you are drifting free.
Yeah.
You have a very few material
possessions. I look crazy. I look crazy because I'm the guy that's like, who's the guy on your sofa? I'm like,
Right. Yeah. But you're also getting the, you know, like you're getting to experience the transcendental life right now. You're getting that incredible revelation that is a very frightening revelation that so many people get from time to time. And you only get it a little bit before the demons come. But you know what? I'll never forget this. I don't mean demons. I'm just kidding. I'm at the place in my life right now where like I'm pretty convinced that everything's heaven and that my blindness there's like a somebody's tied a blindfold that looks like a universe around me, and so I just see this universe, but I think on the other side of the universe is probably paradise, and that there's some kind of initiatory process that happens to all of us before the blindfold comes off.
Never ending story is this, it's, you know, it's the hero's tale,
right?
But you do have to go through initiations to get there.
Right.
It's the best example of
it. An apocalypse means lifting of the veil, the lifting of the blindfold, the universe that's blinding you from the truth of the paradise that you're existing in eventually has to get destroyed or torn away or dissolved, or you just have to believe that there's paradise on the other side of this universe and start letting that happiness go through you and acting that way. But when you can really experience that in the most amazing way when you don't have much.
Yeah.
Because when that happiness comes in and you don't have much, you don't have to wonder to yourself, oh man, if my duffel bag goes away, am I still going to be happy? You know you're happy because your happiness is not success dependent. Your happiness is not house dependent. Your happiness is not child or wife dependent. You get this like pure litmus test where you get to witness that you are happy no matter what. And for me, you know, I have to question. I'm like, Jesus, you know, I get to experience this rarefied existence. I get to go and do stand-up comedy, make money doing that. I have a podcast that supports me. I get to have conversations with people like you. If it all went away, would I still be tooting the paradise horn? I don't know. That's the problem. But I do remember way back in the day, back when I was in a fucking roach motel, in between my rage fits of punching printers or screaming at the wall, a kind of glowing, beautiful joy would come into my life in the midst of all of that awful, horrifying poverty and like hunger that made me realize, oh, this is great no matter what.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's interesting too, because going to the punching of the printer, you just made me realize that I have not even had the chance to be angry in the past 2 months. Because, you know, I'm a guest in people's homes. Where are you going to be fucking angry? You can't, like, punch someone's printer. You know, you can't do that to someone else. Yeah. So it's eliminated my... I just added this realization.
Cool.
It's kind of eliminated a lot of my... Like, I get frustrated, but I haven't got... I haven't been angry as much lately. Sorry, that just it just kind of hit me.
Well, yeah, because you're in a you're like throwing yourself into communities, and yeah, there's like when you're,
and then my anger's coming out in a different. I'm seeing that my anger's coming out in a different way, and that's where people are kind of like settling in. They're just kind of accepting. There's something in there. They're like, I should try something different. I should do something different. And if you look at our American culture, like I think American culture is just fascinating. Especially coming out here, because in New York we'd have all these Europeans, we'd have all these Asians, we had everybody from everywhere from around the world, and over here it's like my Uber guy is the only guy with like an accent. And almost what I realized, because I was thinking about like hitchhiking across the country, because I'm going to go back to New York to go do some work in a month. And I thought, oh, should I hitchhike on this one? Should I do the hitchhiking? Because like nobody hitchhikes anymore, and our society, our culture isn't really built around that right now.
We're too scared.
We're too scared. And I almost think that wouldn't it be cool if we experienced like a new renaissance? Like we had everybody like in the 60s go to India, and we had all the beat poets that were like traveling around the country. What if all of a sudden we just wake up in like 3 years and there's all these people that were like hitchhiking and traveling and documenting it with new media and new ways?
There are, you know, man, I get just because I get messages from people, man, and there are people doing some wild stuff, man. Like, there's people who are... I got an email I wonder how he's doing, from somebody hiking the Appalachian Trail. And when you hear about that, wow, man, there's this crazy party going on out there on this trail where...
Really?
Oh, yeah, man. Like, so there's a community out there where everyone... So you get out on this trail, and I don't know how long it is. It's long. And
It's months.
It's months, and it's not easy. And like... And it can be dangerous. There's bears out there, and it's scary, and it's uncomfortable. But all that being said, people go out there and they give themselves a new name. They have a trail name. They're sort of reborn on the trail. They give themselves a new name. They're only known as that, or they're given a name by the other people who are on the trail. There's people on the trail who are like legends of the trail, like people who've been doing it so long that you'll run into. Everybody helps each other out. When you run into people, you'll trade. You come into town every once in a while and, like, you know, take a shower if you have the money for it, or like replenish your supplies. But it just sounds so cool, man. It sounds so cool. People are doing that. People are hopping trains, man. People are...
That's true.
You know, you're just not going to hear about it so much. It's like, it's all going on out there. I mean, the Burning Man culture, the festival culture, it's really, it is happening. It's just those people are so engaged in experiencing life as opposed to reporting in on it that you might not hear about it so much, which
That's
is
true.
Pretty cool.
That's actually cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, way to go to those people. You're way cooler than me. I wish that, you know what I mean? Sometimes I feel that way too. I feel that if I just did what I'm doing and shut the fuck up and enjoyed it, it's a weird thing to look at things through a lens and a microphone and, you know, and reporting things back to the world. because you're kind of like speaking on behalf of a group in some ways. Like there, I'm clearly not the only couch surfer. I think there's a couch surfing app even right now.
Well, yeah, and I don't know, like, you know, there's like it's just this society, or a lot of societies aren't really, you know, it used to be that if a person came to your house, you let them in. You know, unless they were obviously dangerous, or if like strangers would come to people's homes and you'd let them in and you'd make them a meal and you'd sit down and talk with them. And it was considered to be very auspicious if a person came to your house and needed a place to stay. There's a lot of good karma to be generated from these people, because those people are like angels. And it's like they're giving you a chance to like not be selfish for 10 seconds. And, you know, I just saw a beautiful video on someone posted on Reddit, and Jesus, I think this was in Thailand, where this couple, the European couple, have gone out into the mud and to take pictures of birds. They're an older couple.
Oh, this white hair.
Did you see that?
I read a little bit about it, but I didn't see it.
They
got stuck.
They're stuck in this fucking mud.
Yeah.
And this like Thai fisherman comes up. It's super calm. This is nasty mud. And he starts pulling this guy out of the mud. This is a big guy. The problem is the guy was too big, man.
I only saw a little clip, and the guy looked like a miniature version of a human standing next to a giant.
Yeah, he was huge. And that's why he was getting so stuck in this mud.
Yeah.
And so a dangerous situation. And so he gets the guy out of the mud. Finally, the way he pulls it off is by fully laying into the mud so that the guy could use him to push off of. Like, so his whole body's in the mud. He gets these two folks out of the mud, gets them to safety. He's taking all their stuff before he gets them out of the mud. He takes their like camera equipment and all their stuff, gets it away so it won't get fucked up, lays in the mud. They use him to get up out of the mud, and then that's it. He's like, barely waves at them and just walks back to his boat. There's no like, I'm a hero.
Yeah.
Give me a standing ovation. That's just what you do. You help. And it was so instinctual and natural for him. You see the guy just follow him back to his boat. And the other fishermen are looking at him like, yeah, whatever. And then in the comments, somebody posted, in that culture, you know, it's considered that you get really good karma for helping people. And so it's this like, there's a kind of invisible currency that's happening there that isn't based on, look how wonderful you are, my hero.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm just a human fucking being.
Yeah.
You know?
That's been kind of the fun part too, though, seeing how different people react to this too. You know, before I did this, I would say, like, people would say, hey, you know, if you want to stay here, if you want to do that, I'd be like, no, no, it's cool. Now I'm like, okay, I'll take you up on that offer. And then seeing how everybody is not, look at me. I can see that I'm giving something by doing this too. In a weird way, it's like I know that I'm giving something by saying, yeah, I'll take your offer.
That's ballsy to say that. And like, and it's true though. It's like a game being played, and it's like people are hungry to help other people. It's like in the same way like we were talking about fire earlier, jumping in water. It's like, think how much of human society is completely based on helping people around you. Like, this whole fucking thing can't work unless you're helping people. And it's like capitalism gets it. And like whenever I talk about capitalism, people are like, now make capitalism the best system ever. Well, anyway, one problem with capitalism is that it turns everything into a fucking, it turns everything into some form of commerce. It's a trade. You do this and I'll do this. If I do say this, you say that.
And that's what I was talking about before. That's where walking into your house, you know, that's that space. That's what I'm trying to get at. Is that actually, I'm grossed out by it, but I also recognize that is where we are.
Right.
So because we're there, it is a spiritual space, but unless we address it, and that's where I think things were getting like murky before with the network, is because like I want to get in there and show that we are balancing it. We're balancing we know, like, we're not supposed to say bad things about capitalism because it's the greatest system in the world. But we also are like, God, this thing sucks because but then it doesn't suck completely. So then it, because it doesn't suck and it does suck, that means that there's something in there, that something's broken in there. Right. And so we have to, the only way to figure out what's broken, because the spiritual side, that's where it comes in. The spiritual side says, it's perfect. The materialistic side is like, it's perfect. But then the two of them don't fit. It's like, so I think that's all I'm trying to just get at, is that we have to, I think with our generation, we'll figure out what the fuck it is that's broken in there. And once it gets unbroken, once it gets fixed, and I don't think it's going to be like one necessarily one thing, it's going to be multiple things, and eventually it'll all just start to work together. But it does work, and it's broken, so we've got to figure out how to fix it. And the only way we're going to fix it is having people that a lot of my friends from the spiritual world are like, it's all one giant thing. It's like, yeah, but talk to me about economics. And they don't want to talk about it. They feel uncomfortable about it, or there's a funny little conversation. They won't bring in economists to talk with them. Or they don't want to talk to economists.
I heard a great name for that. God damn it. It's called deep politics. Have you ever heard that before?
No, but it sounds awesome.
Yeah, and I could be like saying it wrong, but deep politics is the stuff that the power structure is cognizant of, but is also cognizant of the fact that the majority of people aren't willing to acknowledge it. So it's like, they not only do they know it's there, not only do they know, like, you know, one classic example, one of the ultimate examples of deep politics is the assassination of JFK, right? So here's a guy who, and forgive me, you guys, if I'm butchering this, but this is my version of deep politics. Here's a guy who, JFK, is apparently about to get rid of the Federal Reserve. He's talking about it, right? Right before he gets shot. And that for some reason they wanted to get into Vietnam too, and I guess he wasn't so hot on that idea. My friend who's a JFK conspiracy theorist explained all this shit to me. And so what they did is they took this American king, like a king, like a handsome, charismatic, beautiful human being, seemingly so, and in broad daylight in front of the entire country, blew his brains out. In front of everyone. They didn't try to poison him. They didn't try to, you know, they didn't make him like have an accident. What they did is they forced everyone in the country to deal with their beautiful king getting murdered in broad daylight, and no one could do shit. And it all got pinned on some dude in a book depository who conveniently got shot. 2 days later, the perfect crime, the perfect assassination. And that ushered in an entire new era. So deep politics is like, the obviousness of the fact that whatever the story is that they say happened is not what happened. In the same way, like after September 11th, Bin Laden's family apparently was the only family that was allowed to fly out of the United States. Deep politics. Like, what is that? What? Why? What? Why of all the families does that motherfucker's family get to fly out? What? That's weird. Doesn't make sense. I don't know what it's all about. We don't know. We just know it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit in to the goddamn paradigm. Deep fucking politics, man.
Well, the thing is happening in front of us right now. Like, I don't know if you follow politics very much, but I don't watch sports, but I watch politics. And the interesting one right now, so you have Bernie Sanders and you have Hillary, and then you have a handful of others on the Democratic ticket. And with Bernie, you know, he's a democratic socialist. So it's like a Scandinavian way of living. And if you talk to a lot of Scandinavians, they say the system's not perfect, but it's a lot better than your fucking system.
Yeah.
And it's basically like, hey, you have a bunch of extremely wealthy people. Maybe some of them could donate a little or pay a little bit more into the people on the lower end and make sure that they have basic needs met.
Sure.
If we take care of healthcare before it becomes a problem, we don't have to drug everybody. We don't have to
all that shit's great, except Sanders just said he wants to keep people in Afghanistan. What the fuck?
Well, okay. So here's the thing.
Okay, great. Fucking Swedish democracy, healthcare for all. But the moment you're like, I think we need to keep troops in Afghanistan, that is – and also, P.S., Troops in Afghanistan means supporting Obama's drone and assassination program, which you saw the leaks. I'm sure you've seen the drone leaks. This motherfucker is assassinating people, and there's a 90% casualty rate of people who are not the intended target. So when Bernie fucking Sanders talks about keeping people in Afghanistan, I'm sorry. I stop listening.
Well, here's the thing. Listening. Here's where okay, you can stop listening it there, but here's where the ooh, we're getting heated here.
It's so annoying.
Like, but here's one... but here's the thing. Here, just follow me with this. So you have other options. So you have Hillary Clinton, and who Hillary Clinton is just focused on. So Hillary and the DNC is focused on Hillary winning. So the DNC has put every Democratic debate right now is set on the opposite of a big game. Or on a Saturday or Sunday night when no one's going to watch it. When the polls all come out and they show that there's mass support for Bernie Sanders, CNN's poll, it was a CNN debate and a Facebook debate. Both of them, Bernie was showing everybody, because there's, let's take Afghanistan aside. There's other elements of it. Let's just make sure that everybody's treated with dignity. That's a big part. Now, the Afghanistan thing is a completely different thing. We can talk about that in a second, but treating people like dignified human beings.
Treating Americans like dignified human beings.
Right now, Americans. Yes, I'll give you that. Because yes. So, but here's where it goes.
Not all the little babies you're going to blow up.
Yeah, but you put someone like Hillary in, and it's going to be even worse. You put someone like Donald Trump, it's going to be.
That's the deep politics, brother. The deep politics are. It's like, okay, great. Here we have Bernie Sanders wants to give health care to everybody. Wants to. Peel some money
he wants up. To educate people. Once people get educated, they'll stop looking at. They will get to that next level.
Hey, it's... listen. I want to get people educated. I want to educate people. But just so you know, as I'm educating people and getting,
I don't want to kill anybody either.
No, I know you don't.
And he doesn't either.
No. Well, yes, he does. The moment you say you support keeping troops in Afghanistan, the moment
did
you...
he say that?
Yes, he did, brother. Right. Yes, he did. And the moment you do that, because Obama. Was going to pull out of Afghanistan. There's a few things Obama... And another thing, man, on a side note, it's like really ridiculous that Obama, the son of a bitch who is running the fucking drone program that's killing kids, some kid, he's a child murderer, he drops bombs on kids, he orders assassins, there's a 90% failure rate. Read the leak. I know I'm already on a list. Just read the leak. Check it out. Just check it out. Oh, it's just to me, it's incredibly absurd that bomb... is in Drone Lord's name, Obama. And now fucking goddamn Bernie, Burn is his name, and
Jesus
he wants to
Christ.
Fucking go into Afghanistan. Just like that wiener dude with like who was sending dick pics. It really sometimes seems like the architect of this thing is a six-year-old.
I learned something recently. You know how the crapper or the toilet was built by this guy named Crapper?
Yes.
That's not true. I found out it's not. His name wasn't Crapper.
What was it?
I don't know. Something else.
Someone nicknamed him Crapper. By the way, I'm just going to look up before I like get a barrage of angry Bernie Sanders supporters. I just want to look up Bernie Sanders Afghanistan support just to make sure that I didn't misread this. Because let me just look it up just to make sure.
Yep.
Here we go. From the Huffington Post. Bernie Sanders supports keeping troops in Afghanistan. Senator Bernie Sanders said Sunday that he supports President Barack Obama's decision to keep troops in Afghanistan, prolonging the war beyond 2016. During the interview on ABC this week on Sunday, George Stephanopoulos asked Sanders, a Democratic presidential candidate, whether he backs keeping U.S. troops in the country. Well, yeah, I won't give you the exact number. Clearly, we do not want to see the Taliban gain more power, and I think we need a certain nucleus of American troops present in Afghanistan to try to provide the training and support the Afghan army needs. Blah! Fuck it! Fuck it! I'm done voting, man. I'm done. It's like, why do these it's all warmongers. Afghanistan? Afghanistan. Just what our founding fathers wanted. When our founding fathers came over here to the United States, what they wanted more than anything was to train fucking Afghani troops? What? This guy who wants to do this beautiful, futuristic, you know, one thing that isn't going on in what is the system he's imitating? Norway?
The Scandinavians.
You know what the Scandinavians aren't fucking doing? They're not training troops in fucking Afghanistan. That's one thing they're not doing.
And so that's where I was going with it. let's take a breath. You need to go couch surf, get some of that anger out. So the whole thing where I was going to go with it is I'm sure you heard Obama on Marin's podcast, and one of the things he said that was actually really genius is like, he's like, look, you can't turn a ship, a big ship, 180 degrees in 8 years. You're going to move it a few degrees. You're going to move it a few degrees. So of all the candidates I'm looking at, this is the one that's going to move it the most.
We can't turn a baby massacring device around in
exactly.
a few days.
But if you have people, if we can educate them and we can show them the value of healthcare, we can show somebody who's who's been marching for civil rights for so long, he's not going to – he even says, even if you elect me, it's not going to do any good because you need to elect your local officials. You need to like continue the movement. We need it. We need a revolution. He means it in the real way. He's talking he's not saying we need a revolution, vote for me, and I'm going to fix it. He's saying we need like a 1960s era revolution.
Okay,
we need people out in the streets.
Out of Afghanistan.
Yeah, and the thing is that if there's enough people, we need the troops out. But how many Americans are educated right now? You know how many are really, really concerned with this stuff? How many care about once they make their money that they're like willing to help other people? How many are willing to support just supporting each other?
Okay. Here's the problem, man. This is where I shut down. Okay, so like let's say that you have a stepdad, right?
Okay.
And your stepdad likes to come into your bedroom at night and finger your butthole. He holds you down, you don't like it. And he fingers your butthole at night. He's a molesting stepdad, right?
Yeah.
So your mom gets a divorce from the molesting stepdad, right? And she starts dating this new guy. And he's awesome. He's like, you know, he takes you to like, he's like the old dad. He like wouldn't give you any money. The old dad was a bit stingy. This guy's like giving you cash. He's like, look, once I become your new stepdad, you're going to have it great. I'm going to send you to a nice college. I'm going to educate you. You're like, this is fucking awesome. This is so great. And then in the middle of the night, you wake up and he's like, P.S., I'm going to keep fingering your butthole. Fuck you, stepdad. I don't care anymore. I want you to stop fingering my butthole. Then let's talk politics. Here's the thing. Let's stop murdering babies. And then let's talk about education. Yeah. Let's, you know, in my order of priorities, when you're coming over to my house, but I want you to stop murdering the babies before we start talking about you picking up the tab for dinner.
But you summed it up. What you summed it up is it's like it's your mom is choosing to continue to bring men, shady men, into your home. But this man at least is a little less shady, a lot less shady, because he doesn't understand that – maybe he understands that fingering your butthole is not the ideal choice. Maybe
what he's doing is worse than fingering buttholes, because the moment Bernie Sanders says he supports – troops in Afghanistan, he's talking about incinerating buttholes. He's talking about turning buttholes into hamburger meat. And when that stuff starts happening, I find it absolutely ridiculous because it's like, okay, how about this? Before you start peeling money away from rich people, let's stop fucking wars overseas. Let's do that first. Let's take the money that we're spending every single day on all these wars and undisclosed wars that the United States is constantly fighting, and let's start putting that towards education first. And then let's start peeling money away from rich people too, if you need to. But first, stop the wars, man.
I'm totally 100% on it. That's a great way to finance everything as well, by pulling money away from our defense system. The fact is, like, it's like this, like, trillion-dollar – it's a trillion-dollar industry. So to pull that away, it's the same thing. It's like this – you know, they're going to show them the video. It's of JFK getting shot. They're going to be like, listen, this is how it works.
Well, apparently
they already
showed it to him.
Yeah.
Before September 11th happened, how often did you think about the Taliban?
Oh, never.
Never. Everything was fine, right?
Yeah.
Everything was fine,
yeah.
Right? Remember? Everything was fine. No one was thinking about it.
Remember that? Can we real quick? Can we do this for 1 second? Because I like this era, and I think a lot of people that listen don't remember like what life was like before 2001. Like Humvees were cool. Like Missy Elliott was on the radio.
Yeah.
Like
Clinton was getting blowjobs.
Yeah,
that was the worst thing. That like it wasn't like the big revelations that were coming out was like, oh yeah, our president like used a cigar and put a cigar in a girl's pussy. It wasn't our president is ordering assassinations on people with a 90% failure rate that tend to kill civilians. And also, P.S., under his administration, every single cell phone, every single email, and every single digital transaction is being recorded by some mysterious organization in some unknown place. That's, you know, it wasn't like that before September 11th, you know? It was just free and clear.
Yeah, baby. Just remember what it was. What it was. Ludicrous on the radio. Move, bitch. Get out the way, bitch. Get out the way.
Yeah. And then September 11th happened. And then somehow these sons of bitches used that as an excuse to get us into Afghanistan, to get us over into fucking Iraq, to get us everywhere. And now we live in this kind of like weird place where some people actually think there's something to be said for the government having the power to record your fucking phone conversations without a warrant. And also, people like Bernie Sanders, who are masquerading as some kind of great hope for the people, are simultaneously supporting fucking war. No, no, no more war. We don't like it. I don't care about the Taliban. I don't support the Taliban. I support the troops. And the way I support the troops is by being vehemently, angrily, hippie level, shrilly against war.
And what you're doing is exactly what he's saying. You need to speak up more. You need to make noise. You need to, like, this is the revolution. This is it. It's people getting angry and getting upset and bringing it to the street. You're bringing it to, this is fucking pirate radio. Like, like Morse code out there. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Everybody pay attention. Get fucking upset about this. Make some movement on this. Like, we have one candidate out of, what is it, like 20 total or 17 total? We have one candidate, this is his problem, is the war issue. All of them have the war issue. But the fact that we're getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. So this is what he's saying: get the fuck out there, start the revolution.
No,
revolution.
Here's the problem, man. Anything that you say following the statement, "I'm going to kill a bunch of people," doesn't, to me at that point, it doesn't matter. I don't care what you say anymore. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter to me. I think if Bernie Sanders had said, "I'm going to do everything I can to get the troops out of Afghanistan and to stop these awful fucking proxy wars that the United States is constantly fighting." If he had said that, then he becomes interesting to me. That's where he suddenly becomes really interesting. But the moment he's like, I'm just going to continue to support the military-industrial complex that is creating wants to create a stable Afghanistan, not because we have any interest in the Afghani people, not because we have any interest or any fear of what the Taliban is going to do, but because apparently there's a lot of fucking rare minerals over there, and a lot of people theorize that there's a shit ton of opium, and you can harvest the opium and sell the goddamn heroin and fund covert CIA operations with the money that you make. And that's why we've got troops over there right now. Whatever the reason is, it ain't got shit to do with freedom. It doesn't have anything to do with liberty. Yeah. It doesn't have anything to do with the goddamn Norwegian fucking democracy. It just has to do with a massive series of corporations called the military who need to feed, baby. And Bernie fucking Sanders is like, "I'm going to keep feeding that fucking dragon," the moment he said he supports troops in Afghanistan. What was becoming a kind of small fondness for him, but a lot of skepticism, was completely obliterated by that statement. And I hope a lot of you guys out there who are Bernie Sanders supporters spend some time considering the fact that you, prior to Bernie Sanders yapping about how he wants to keep troops in Afghanistan, didn't want troops in Afghanistan. And if now all of a sudden you think it's okay to have troops in Afghanistan just because some dude said it, he wants to keep troops there, you got to reconsider your fucking autonomy, you know? Because it's like, no, we don't want war anymore. I don't want war anymore. I'm done. We're done. We don't want to kill kids anymore. We don't want our tax money going to bombs. That's it. That's how I see it anyway.
I'm with you 100%. My question is, who are you going to vote for?
Bernie Sanders. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know yet. We're gonna see what happens. We're going to see what happens.
I think that's the thing, is that we've already seen what's happened. That's the big thing for me, too, is that he... we shouldn't keep going out this.
Why? It's great.
Well, because...
it's fucking great.
Because...
Bernie, feel the burn. Yeah, we got to keep those troops over there in Afghanistan.
This is the thing. I totally 100% agree with you that it's awful. It's terrible. It's the worst thing. The reality is, as far as I know, he's the only one who's spent most of his life fighting against this. So if there's a point at the very end where it's like, ah, fuck, I've got to just go along with this for whatever reason. I feel the way that he's voted throughout his entire all of his terms. I feel that he was voting against everything else. You know, he was the one who was marching at the time. Like, and maybe I'm just caught up in like the propaganda of it all.
He supports war. He's a war supporter.
I know, but we don't have anybody else. We don't have anybody else.
No, here's the thing, brother.
It's like the best. Would you rather have Donald Trump?
We don't have. Oh, it's you're just asking, what flavor do you want? You're fucking cyanide, brother.
All right. I'll take that.
We don't have anybody. That's what it is. We have ourselves. We have the people. And what is Sanders' gun policy? He probably wants to do like gun control stuff, huh?
Bernie Sanders says that you should keep your guns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Ask me more about his policy, because I might be able to chip away at some of this stuff.
That's awesome. Well, no, I mean, that's...
No, he's straight
I
up, like...
I figured there'd be some kind of irony there where he's, like, trying to get rid of guns while expanding the fucking empire.
No.
Regardless.
That was actually a big deal. Like, Hillary was like, I can't believe that you want to get rid of guns. Like,
Sanders, I know you listen to this podcast.
He's always checking in on this podcast. Listen. Like, he tweets about this, like, 24-7. The Duncan Trussell family are the best podcast in the world.
Mr. Sanders, you can't support war and have the support of freaks like me. And maybe it's just one me out here, but I don't believe in you now. And I think that if you want to blow people up, you need to go to some other fucking country and get elected, because we're done. Unless maybe you got some information I'm not aware of or something. But as far as I can tell, it's just you're just another version of the same old bullshit. And you're wearing different clothes, but you're the same lizard underneath. If you want to blow kids. Look, man, Bernie, the next time, and any of you Bernie fucking Sanders supporters out there.
Hi.
You need to go listen to a Bernie Sanders speech while looking at footage of dead kids who've been blown up by drones. And then if you can listen to that bullshit and you're like, yeah, I guess it's worth it, and still you believe in him, well, I don't know, man. That doesn't, to me, this is deep politics. Deep politics is where you're forced to look past the propaganda into what's literally happening, and you have to, like, deal with it.
Can I play with something with that, then?
Yes.
Do we have time?
We have plenty of time.
Okay, let's talk about deep politics, and you're going to kick me out of your house at the end of this. You're like, get the hell out of my spare room!
I love it!
You're going to be cooking me on your... You're gonna cook me on your egg grill. Listen, so here's okay. Let's change the game. So this is like we're not talking about Bernie for a second. We're gonna go into deep politics and like
yes,
and see it in action. So, can I make it a little personal?
Please.
Okay. Let me find a way to make this like a fun one. You and I both have we encourage people to use Amazon.
Yes.
Now, Amazon is this multinational company that
yep.
Is when people buy from Amazon, they're buying from watching what people actually buy. People buy a lot of shit.
Yep.
Like a lot of just garbage. And watching friends buy, sometimes like they buy something that's like very useful and functional. It's utilitarian.
Sure.
Other times it's like they're just filling a void.
Yes.
Right? So people go in there and they fill a void and then they buy something from an Amazon, and that product was made. Who the fuck knows where it's made?
Okay.
We know that it's not made in America because we don't have factories. It's only, okay. It's like, so this is most likely built from something overseas where we don't know how it was being built,
sure,
chances are pretty high because political leaders have made it easier for us to build something
I
in
think
it.
I the iPhone is like ordering an iPhone off Amazon, let's say.
Because
the iPhone is definitely being assembled in like...
Yeah, Foxconn, where people are killing, throwing themselves out of buildings, yeah, and they're making huge profits, and they're a legal entity in cyberspace, yep, so they don't have to pay any tax at all.
Yes.
Okay. So... in my mind, this is something I've struggled with for years.
Yeah.
And it's still – this is where it's like that material versus spiritual side, because my spiritual side says like it's all the same thing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But there's this part where it's like I know that when somebody orders an iPhone through Amazon that it's made by forced slavery, and then that's commuted across the ocean several times with all of the supplies are being pushed back and forth over the ocean, destroying our oceans,
yes,
acidifying our oceans.
Yes.
We have like people are fishing to like while they're on their way, they're just going to harpoon,
sure,
dolphins and shit. And we're supporting it. So we're supporting it, and we, you know, like we want to like, I'm against Bernie. I'm against this one man.
If Apple came out at their next Apple show, and they said, just so you guys know,
I have an iPhone 7. I have an iPhone 7. What the iPhone 7 is amazing. It has these new features. Yeah. Duncan, you're going to fucking love this thing. People can order off Amazon. And by the way, we're not going to say it. We're not going to say it, but children are going to be making this. Forced slaves are going to be doing this.
That's
what they're saying.
To compare it to the Bernie Sanders thing, it would be more like Apple coming out and saying, we've got this great new iPhone. It's fucking incredible. And also, we're going to be dropping bombs on people in Afghanistan next year that are going to kill.
The difference is that Bernie, at least, the politician will say it. A business will not say it. Amazon will not say that we are going to continue to push our profits ahead of our people.
I decide to buy an iPhone.
Yeah.
Right? When I buy an iPhone, it's a decision I make.
Yeah.
When I decide to eat meat, it's a decision that I make.
I see where you're going. Yeah.
When I fucking pay for the iPhone and pay for the meat, a certain percentage of that money will go in the direction of the white phosphorus or whatever the fuck it is that goes into their goddamn drones that they drop on fucking kids. That's not a decision that I make. If I want to exist in the dragon, the United States of America, if I want to live in this, as I've said before, it's like living inside the body of a very healthy serial killer. If I want to live inside this thing, the very action of transaction creates death. Because the United States, on a daily basis, kills people, whether it's the police shooting people in the back or whether it's the United States military dropping bombs on people or whether it's the prison industrial complex slowly killing drug offenders who've done nothing more than trying to increase their levels of bliss in this very temporary dimension that they're in. All that shit is not the choice of the people. If you want to buy a fucking iPhone, you've got to deal with the weight and whatever minute little sorrow you may feel for the fact that this thing was built in some kind of shit factory, right?
Yeah.
But that's a choice. That's a choice. That's a choice you've made. We don't have a choice about this war in Afghanistan. We don't have a choice. And now especially because every single fucking asshole running for president wants to keep that party going. There's no choice. As far as I'm aware, there might be some out there who don't. But we'll never hear about them. So to me, that's the difference, man. I want the choice. I want, and he, but the problem is, you know, even like Obama, he said he was going to get he's going to stop that war, and he didn't.
I think that's the thing. I think there's enough people that are pulling the strings that are just behind the stage. They're pulling the strings. I don't think that we can get out of it anytime soon. I think that this is where I think it is. I think someone like a Bernie would just say, look, we're going to keep them in there because he's like, there's no fucking way that I'm not going to give you a false promise. But I think the big thing is that if you are 35 years old, you can run for office. I think we just need to get a better group of people that are beginning to move up for the next election. Because this election is pretty shot. I think that he's the best candidate for it. I understand. I completely agree. It's about your intention or your like when you go and you buy something. But I do feel that we need to really promote better minds and more strength with our people to say what we actually want, because people aren't saying what they actually want. People are consuming a lot of shit. There are people that just consume, 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 consume. They're just buying and taking and soaking up shit, and they're not making things, and they're not getting their voice out there, or they're not having discussions. Right. And I think as more people have discussions, and I think as more people start even having a discussion like this, this is like a, you know, this is a fun one.
Yeah, real fun. Hey, don't confuse my shrill, ranty shit here with this.
I know you, baby girl. It's all good.
Baby, I love you.
I love you too, baby.
This is just part of the game, you know.
But yeah. Look, but this is what it is. Is that we're actually having a dialectum about it, and I think that most Americans do not have a dialectum. Like, they don't have discussions. They don't, you know, watch it in front of your TV, listen to it while you're jogging, whatever the hell you're doing. But it serves no purpose unless you actually go communicate with other people.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that, you know, that is supremely important. And I like, you know, you don't, there's always some kind of hope. And I don't mean to like say there's no hope. I mean, there are gradients. And I get that. Nothing's black and white. That's one of the favorite things of the military. Just, if you are running the fucking military, man, you want, there's certain things you want out there. You have certain like things you want people to be like, well, nothing's black or white. You know, you want stuff like that out there so that you can always keep this fucking business running.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so much money in it, man. There's just so much money in it. And I don't want people to get hopeless. We're still, right now, we're still at the point where we are allowed to have, you know, a free conversation about this kind of thing without being put in a FEMA camp. So that's nice. We get a little bit more of that.
Are you concerned that we're heading that way?
Well, no. See, here's my concern. My concern is this. It's like, all right. You know, they say there's like schools for, quote, terrorists. You know, these mosques like take people and radicalize them and turn them into suicide bombers, right? Yeah. But the people they're radicalizing a lot of times have experienced, see, it's like, imagine if when I was in Atlanta, right, something in the sky flew over this house and dropped a bomb that blew up you and Cora, my dear friend and my girlfriend, just turned them into fucking putty, right? And I knew that thing was a remote controlled thing that was being flown by somebody in another country, and now I have nothing to live for, right? That's what Obama has on his conscience. He's done that. So I come up into the house, pull up the driveway, and instead of seeing my house and being like, my house, or instead of seeing my dogs and being like, my dogs, or my girlfriend, it's rubble and blood and fucking ashes. Right? Once that fucking happens, man, I'm going to be really, really interested in figuring out ways that I can make sure that doesn't happen anymore. And I'm going to become somebody who fights that as much as I fucking can. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And I don't know if it would be through violence. But if I'm somebody in the, but point is, You want to fucking make it so that some shitty thing happens in this country? You want to make it so that some radicalized son of a bitch finally manages to get his hands on a dirty bomb, crosses the border, and detonates it here? One great way to make sure that that happens is keep dropping bombs on people over there. Keep attacking them. Keep bombing them, bombing them, bombing them, bombing them, and just pretend there's no such thing as karma. Pretend that what goes around don't come around. Pretend that when you do that shit, it doesn't come back to you. Just imagine that that's how this universe works, and you are going to inevitably have something that makes September 11th look like a fucking fireworks show. And that's the problem, because there's two people who are now interested in creating a disaster of that magnitude. One, the countless people who've watched their entire lives get destroyed by politicians like Bernie fucking Sanders, who wants to send bombs to Afghanistan. And two, the people who build the bombs, who know that if a fucking awful thing happens in the United States, then that's going to make even more reason mm-hmm. for them to continue making war. So now there's two interested parties who both benefit from some disastrous thing happening here. And so that's the problem. So you've got to stop one of them. You got to stop the bombs. Because the answer is not let's keep bombing them and then simultaneously to bombing them, let's increase airport security, let's increase our surveillance programs, let's increase the let's just tighten the boa constrictor of authoritarian rule over this country to, quote, keep things safe, because we have to keep it safe because we're bombing people on a daily basis and they want to kill us. The answer is, one, stop bombing people. That's how you start. Stop bombing people. You know, that's a good way to start making friends. That's a there's a foot in the it's a step in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry for that rant, sweet Michael Donovan.
No, no, I think this is good. I wanted you to keep going. I like, gave you a little let it out.
It stirred me up.
No, Donovan. It's good. It's good. I agree with you 100%. I just don't know how we're supposed to get there. And I think that's the thing, is a lot of us are really confused and frustrated. Like,
right.
you are visually frustrated. I have not seen you like this, at least myself. We're frustrated as fuck. We're approaching an election. October 31st is coming up. I think that's the last day that any new candidates can come in. So we're going to be, like, I think Biden might be coming in. Like, that's going to change anything. Hillary's not going to change anything. Donald Trump, Ben Carson, whoever the fuck comes from the other side. So it's like, I think the big thing is, like, it is, regardless of what, like, let's take all the other stuff about Bernie, the words, use it as his borrowed words, but there does have to be a revolution that begins. We need people to begin talking about it. We need people to discuss it. We need people to, like, really push for, we need a push because none of us do. It's like, I'm not saying, like, vote for Bernie because any other reason, like, it's just a step forward. I agree with you 100%. I would rather have somebody say, like, I do not want wars. We are going to pull out. That's what we want. We want that. We want, like, we all want peace, but there's all this industry that's wrapped up around it that we can't get out of. And people are also blind to the way that they are creating forced slavery in the world. And it's so complicated that at the end of the day, we just enjoy the goddamn day.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is, guys, I mean, no shit. I mean, just so you know, don't confuse my visible rage. Like, if you could feel what's happening inside of me, it's just pure joy. Like, anytime there's a thing to rebel against, it's glorious.
Man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really fun. And, like, it brings me some degree of happiness to whenever there's some obvious thing to point out. You know, especially like that, where you've got a guy who's like, let's take money away from the rich, but keep supporting the military-industrial complex. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about, psycho? Like, it's just so obviously wrong. It's such an obvious misstep. It's such an obvious revelation of who he really is. It's just such a clear light shining on the truth, which is that right now we are at a position in the history of our country where our politicians do not represent the will of the people. Mm-hmm. They will continue to wage war overseas. They will continue to explode children no matter what we think or do. And if we vote for the right head of the Hydra, it's like, which head of the Hydra do you want to vote for?
Mm-hmm.
This head of the Hydra is going to help the rich people more than the poor people. This head of the Hydra is going to try to help as many people as possible, both rich and poor. And this head of the Hydra is mostly going to help the middle class and the poor people. But all heads of the Hydra from time to time are going to chomp down on some of that sweet Afghani baby meat because that's what they feed on. It's like, that's what it's come down to. Which one do you want? The Hydra's going to bring you cake. The Hydra's going to bring you less taxes. The Hydra's going to bring you education, but the Hydra's still going to keep fucking eating babies. And I think that that's the deep politics of the situation, is we have to acknowledge the fact that the thing we are inside of is a dragon that is rampaging around the planet right now, and it has to be reined in. And only the people can do that. And I think what you're saying, and you know, if the demon child murderer-to-be Sanders says it, then fine, he's saying something right. Which is, there needs to be a dialogue about this. Which is, it's not just like we're in a cute way sick of war. You know, because that's kind of what they'll say. They're like, look, we know you guys are war weary. Like, they talk to us like we're a child in a car.
That's the thing that drives me fucking crazy.
You're a little cranky. You're a little cranky.
Yeah.
Is it your bedtime? I know you're a little war weary. You cranky little baby. You little cranky war weary baby. No, we don't want them to kill anymore. We don't want them to kill. So that's not war weary. It's just the people, I think the majority of the people, don't want them to murder kids anymore.
Well, it's because it's a bunch of psychopaths that are in the room. You just have a bunch of people that have been paid to be psychopathic, and they just continue to be psychopathic, and then, you know, it's just fed itself. It's fed itself. Yeah, you're right. That's what the Hydra is made out of. And so we've got it. But since we've got it, let's at least figure out what the hell it is and how it works. Like, we are inside. We should be able to figure out how to control this goddamn thing. And, you know, I'm throwing my final thing, at least, like, please. He's, like, one that's, like, trying to eat itself. You know, at least it's somebody trying to do something within it. But I do think that we have to figure it out. The skin is not going to figure out how the heart and the muscles work. Right. So we have to get in there and figure it out and start pulling strings. And we need to have, like, real discussion. And I think that a lot of times it's easier to talk about, like, oh, let's all just, like, let it go and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, maybe it is. Maybe that's what we need. That's part of it too, though. Is like, when I walk away from politics, I'm a happy person, because there's none of it fucking matters. You know what I mean? None of it even fucking matters when I walk out there, because it doesn't affect us directly. Is it because it doesn't affect us directly that it doesn't really exist, except for when it exists within our entertainment sphere?
Yeah,
or
sure. Sphere?
Or is it like something?
It's just we can't. It's just like. Did you ever see that video that Hitchcock put together? I can't remember what it's called. It's on Netflix. You can watch. It's really disturbing, but. It's a video compiling the concentration camp footage. Like, I can't remember which camps it was. But one of the things they did is they took people who lived near the concentration camps and they forced them to, like, gather at the concentration camps and look at, like, there's a table. And on the table were, like, various books made of Jew skin. You see the tattoos and stuff, because they would, like, bind books in the skin of Jews. And they were forcing and of course the piles of corpses too, but they were forcing the villagers to behold the piles of corpses that were coming from this camp very close to them, so they could truly witness what they were supporting. And the people are weeping. You know, they're fainting. They're passing out. They can't believe it. They kind of knew it, but they're still like, what? It's like, that's what, you know, there's just no way to do that now. There's no way to march America.
No, we've been desensitized by it. Have you seen the picture of the emaciated polar bear?
Right.
You know, it's just a skeletal polar bear, and it's a skeleton with polar bear flesh on it, or polar bear fur on it. We've seen that, and it's like at the same time. Everybody, go to studiodonovan.com and click that Amazon link and buy your shit.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, but I guess, you know, it's, you know, do we, the hard part is, at least for my life, has been, is it, do you just choose to be out of sight, out of mind, or do you continue to fight for it?
You just continue to talk about it, man. Yeah. I mean, like, you do what you can. There's no, like, you talk about it, and you talk about it even though it's annoying, and you talk about it even though people tend to get pissed off.
Because, you know, I'm sure it's still with you, too. You have some people, like, you have your friends, you can talk about this shit, and then other people, you're like, they just walk away when you start talking about it. Like, you lose some friends, but sometimes it's like, fine, I'll lose those friends.
Look, man, I mean, I like to simplify things to the point of, like, uber simplification, even though sometimes I don't. Like, sometimes I entertain, like, look, let's play devil's advocate, literal devil's advocate, right? Right. The idea is, what is it? The propaganda is that, okay, Afghanistan... I don't know, the Taliban come back into power, and then they're going to do way worse than the casualty rate of the drones that we're dropping. So it's like the Taliban are going to, you know, imprison the women and fuck, they're going to, like, anybody who worked with the United States, they're going to execute them. And it's like, that's sort of the I guess. And then who knows, like, if that becomes militarized, another ISIS forms in Afghanistan, and then suddenly you get this massive Islamic caliphate stretching through the Middle East, and then that caliphate goes to war with Israel, and then the entire Middle East is now controlled by an Islamic caliphate. As I love saying caliphate, so does Fox News. Like, every time someone on Fox News, if you drink every time someone on Fox News says caliphate, you'll get hammered. But it's like, so that's the propaganda. You know, in the same way, I guess, we were worried about Vietnam turning communist or whatever, you know. But it's like, whatever it is always some, you know, ominous threat. But it's not really a threat. Let's stop killing people. And I think I like, and you can just simplify some things. One thing I think you're allowed to do to simplify, one thing you're allowed to make black and white is that you can say, It's always, because one thing is black and white across this country. And if people disagree with you, then they should be arrested. It is inarguably always wrong to fuck kids. Always. Always wrong to fuck children, to sexually molest children, to do anything with a child like that. Takes their innocence away, drives them crazy. This is why in prisons, if a child molester gets into prison, people kill him. There's just an innate thing. We don't want it, right? Always wrong to kill kids, right? Now, or always wrong to fuck kids. Now, if Bernie Sanders came out and said, I'm going to continue a program of mild child molestation in Afghanistan, no one would vote for him.
Yeah.
He'd be done. He'd like maybe get arrested even. But if Bernie Sanders comes out and implicitly by supporting the war in Afghanistan says, I'm going to continue a program of child murder in Afghanistan, it's totally cool. Even though that's way worse than fucking molesting them, man. So it's like, somehow when you say we've become desensitized, it's like desensitization beyond anything. Where somehow that makes sense that from time to time you got to kill kids. No, it's never right.
But okay, you just nailed it right there. That's what I think needs to happen. Something has to happen, and your arms crossed and everything.
Sorry.
Like, no, it's okay. For everybody listening, I've
my arms like
never seen Duncan this passionate about anything. At least I personally haven't, but maybe you get this way all the time. But you just nailed it. You know, you think of like a protest sign. What do they say? Like, now. Like, yes. That's pretty much it. Occasionally you get like a little funny one. There just needs to be like some really hard visuals for people to digest.
I think so.
There needs to be stuff where it's like, oh, fuck, I really don't want to. There just needs to be someone take a picture of your butthole and just post it. Just post it as a meme, just saying, get your finger out of my butthole.
Sanders.
Hillary.
All of them.
I would first go after Hillary and
I'd
Trump.
I'd way rather have Hillary's finger in my butthole than Bernie Sanders' old fucking yellowed, callous finger probing in there.
Well, she's
even I'm just
dirtier.
Kidding. I don't support any of them, man. But
you know what I mean. Like there needs to be some, like there needs to be seriously there needs to be like some signs like just stop killing kids and with little kids. There has to be better visuals for this. You know what I mean? There has to be better visuals. There has to be better slogans. There has to be stuff like there. There really has to be people moving and showing up. People need to show up to Trump rallies and with signs that flip from being supportive. Like they need to go in there into a Donald Trump thing and have some movement, especially since he is really promoting xenophobia. He's really
right.
He's pushing it more than anyone else, and that's going to be really scary the further he gets along. Hillary, where she's the safe vote because she's the vote for women. Same thing. You have all of these mothers who are going to vote for Hillary, and she's a warmonger of all. And so you have show up there with your signs and promote, like, stop killing children, Hillary. Something that gets the people like, what the fuck does that mean? What does that mean?
War kills kids or something. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, listen, I like getting shrill, Michael. I enjoy it. It's fun. Whenever I do this around Raghu, he's always like, he reminds me that the moment you start doing this, you're creating more of a divide. You're creating more of a schism. You're creating more of a terrible fissure in between you and whatever the group you've decided to demonize. You know,
That's true.
Yeah, sure. No shit, dumb. Everyone knows you're not supposed to kill kids. We all know that. No duh. Obvious, basic, obvious thing, right? So the answer is somehow to understand that every single person on earth is trying to do the best that they can and approach it from that perspective. Mm-hmm. That, okay, I guess that if I come to you not as an enemy, but as a hopeful, someone who hopefully will be my friend, you're going to be way more likely to transform the landscape, their social paradigm, than you are screaming at them that they're a fucking child murderer on your podcast. So I get that POV, but I think from time to time it is important to shine a light on the fact that whenever anyone supports war, they're supporting something way worse than child molestation. And I think it's super important to like point that out. Hare Krishna.
I agree.
Michael, you are an awesome guy. You brought this out of me. I appreciate it. I needed to go on a rant. How can people find you and your wonderful podcast and your incredible photography, man? We didn't even get to talk about the fact that you're someone who is this brilliantly talented photographer. You take amazing pictures, not just of women, but of everything, but mostly of women, right? Mostly.
It's mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're good, man. You're good. You've got an eye for it. I don't understand it. When I try to take a picture, it just sucks. Like, I look at the pictures you take, and it's like, before we go, podcast has gone on for a long time, but it's a good...
How long has this been? Like, hours?
An hour and a half. Yeah. But that means it's a good one. Before we go, please, give my listeners some advice, some hope when it comes to their art. Because you're more of an artist than I am, man. I don't know how you do it. That's such a strange art. The pressing of a button, capturing this
button pressing art.
No, man, it's true. You're digitizing time, and you're doing it in a specific way. In just the right way. What the fuck is that, man? And how do you do it? What's the secret? And is this the worst question you've ever been asked?
Not the worst question I've been asked. I think it's this. I mean, we talked a little about creativity before when you came on the last one. It's the same thing. It's what we're doing. It's all the same thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm just taking pictures. I think for me, one of the things I'm really trying to do is I'm trying to like change, like at least do my own thing. Like I'm trying to create my own genre, my own world. So like with the women that I shoot, like people would say like, you shoot a lot of naked women. It's like actually not that many. There's only been a few that have been nude, but people, when they see topless, they immediately think nude. But I always saw that as a weird human rights thing. Like I could walk around without a shirt, but a girl can't.
Right.
It's also like you'll see like some like morbidly obese man. Nothing wrong with morbidly obese people, but like morbidly obese man sitting at Union Square, like dropping food onto his bitch tits. And then there's like a girl who's like sweating because she has to wear clothes. So I kind of see it as like this, like, why don't we just make everybody equal, like lift everybody up with it.
Yes.
And then create scenarios and stories within the images. And create like a world, like create an imaginary world that feels like it's like part here and part there. So it's not quite here, it's not quite in reality, but it's not quite surrealism. Which again is like, I think it's like kind of what you're doing too. It's like it's just mixing the worlds that we live in, the imaginary worlds, and then the world of here, the present.
Right.
So I'm just trying to give, at least for me, I'm trying to give my audiences like a space, you know, like a space to live and like. I don't know if you want to know this stuff or if this is
sure,
but like I always looked at my mom and my sister and my grandma's like these like strong women who kind of like there's something about that where they were like just strong badass women in their own ways, like dealing with their own shit, dealing with whatever, dealing with everything. And I always like, so like I like when people ask, like, you mostly shoot women or do you shoot men and women? It's like, I mostly shoot women because I like showing, like, what my grandma would have been in an alternative universe, or my mom would have been, right, or, like, my sister could or would be, you know, like, all my friends and stuff. So it's just creating a fun space because as men, our relationship between men and women as well, like, men are supposed to be the strong ones and women are supposed to be the compassionate ones within our American upbringings. But if you give them that strength, what does that do to us as men? And a lot of men feel uncomfortable with that. But then when they see that women have that strength, they actually start to like admire those women more. And they start to like feel more secure within themselves.
Right.
So to give part of something that we've been gifted and give it to someone else who hasn't been gifted, because women typically are not within our culture gifted strength. And you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So it's like when you see a woman who's like strong and badass and everything, you're like, damn, like sometimes you have to remember like, what the hell did they go through?
Right.
Anyway, so that's what I'm playing around with my work.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Guys, definitely go to studiodonovan.com.
Yeah.
That's your website. Check out his art. It's beautiful. Listen to his podcast, Walking Home. The link is at studiodonovan.com. It's called
Walking Home.
Walking Home, yeah. I wasn't sure if it was Walking Each Other. I'm Walking Home. I will have links to that at duncantrussell.com. do not support war, but please support Casper.com. If you want a mattress, $50 off, use offer code FAMILYHOUR. Give us a nice rating on iTunes if you like this podcast. Love yourself, and don't get too caught up in this insanity that I just ranted about for a long time. It'll just give you high blood pressure. Give your dog a nice treat and a shower. Don't shower. Shower with your dog, actually. A lot of people do that. And don't forget to brush your teeth and to make sweet love to your man or woman. Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being a guest, Mike.
Bye, everybody.